From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
A live look at the construction inside Everbank Field. The U.S. Assure Club improvements continue, and we welcome you inside Everbank Field. From the HannityAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with you. Plenty to get to today. Here's what's up on the show today. Telvin Smith, Jaguars linebacker, will join us. We'll see what his offseason has been about. We'll get a construction update today. Media tours of the West Club, the West U.S. Assure Club here at Everbank Field. It's all gutted down to the concrete. We'll get an update on the construction process. And Chase Goodbread of NFL.com, college football 24/7 writer, he'll join us. We'll talk some prospects and wrap up the combine coverage from last week. John Osier is with us now. What's up, Johnny? How are you?
I'm here, but it's not nearly as important as this.
We'll get to Telvin coming up. Yesterday, though, a big day around the National Football League. The franchise tag date, a handful of guys, notable players that were tagged on the defensive side. Wilkerson of the Jets, Norman of the Panthers, Vernon of the Dolphins is a transition tag. Von Miller, exclusive franchise, and Eric Berry of the Chiefs. But any surprises of the group that were?
Well, not any shockers. I mean, the key is Von Miller being exclusive. He's basically not a free agent to anybody else. So everybody's been saying you can forget about him. Well, you really can forget about him. The other key is Olivier Vernon with the transition tag keeps him very much on the market. The deal is the Dolphins will have a chance to make to match the offer that he would agree to. It basically allows the Dolphins to allow the rest of the league to set the market on him. I would think that the rest of the league will be very happy to do that, and that the market will make Olivier Vernon very happy. And I'd be a little surprised if the Jaguars weren't in pretty heavily on that one.
Well, no pick compensation, though, in that scenario for the Dolphins.
Right. They get nothing out of it if they lose him. What the transition tag does is it allows the team to match an offer, and it basically has the Dolphins saying, okay, we like Olivier Vernon. If the price is right, we will have the option to bring him back. I would be surprised if the price is right, because I think the market's going to get very, very high for him. He's the best pass rusher on the market. With this surge of teams wanting pass rushers, and the Jaguars aren't the only one who want one,
that's right,
I'd expect the market to be perhaps obscenely high for him.
Same setup as a couple of years ago when the Jags sent an offer in for Alex Mack. He signed that offer, and the Browns ended up matching that offer and keeping that center.
A touch different, because the Mack thing happened. There were a couple of clauses in his contract that caused that to happen a lot later.
Okay.
This is going to happen whenever that period opens. It's going to happen fast for Olivier Vernon.
Stay tuned on Jaguars.com. Free agency coverage. Negotiation period starts March 7th, goes through the 9th, and of course at 4 o'clock Eastern time on March 9th, all of the latest right here on Jaguars.com. Free agency, and the new league year begins on March the 9th. We bring in Jaguars linebacker Telvin Smith now. You like all that business talk, Telvin? Not quite ready for you for that yet.
He'll like it in about 2 years. He'll like it.
It's nice to, you know, kind of get up on it and hear a little bit. Always nice. That's knowledge. I need it.
I use the phrase obscenely big contract. You wouldn't mind one of those, right?
Definitely not. That's why we work and do it, right?
That's right.
You know, that's what we want.
Healthy off season for you. Missed the last couple of games of the season. You have a shoulder and a finger.
Both shoulders and the finger. But we're working right now, and it's solid. Just strengthening, getting strength back right now, and getting ready for a healthy season.
Now, you had the two injuries happen basically in the same game.
But
were you dealing with anything before that? How much did you play through this season?
The whole season, I was solid. Okay. I kind of tweaked my shoulder a little bit a couple weeks before, but it wasn't anything major. Then in the Falcons game, it seemed like it all came to trying to get a little physical out there.
And that was quite an experience for you playing through that, and you were all off the field three or four different times. Mm-hmm. I think I asked this after the game, but had you ever been through anything quite like that on the football field?
I played with a pulled hamstring in a high school state championship. I didn't play long in that one because I couldn't run, but tried to do that. Played with a a fractured wrist when I was playing receiver in ninth grade. Came down on my wrist. Coaches didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was going on. Just knew it was hurting, and I continued to play through that. So, you know, playing through pain is a mindset. Gotcha. You just got to be willing to go through it.
And then by the end, the last couple of games, how difficult was it? Those are your first couple of games you've missed in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. It was tough, not just because of me not playing, but just because I wanted to see the growth of the team towards the end of the season. I didn't like that Saints game at all. I don't think nobody on the team did. That's still a nasty one in my mouth. So just the way we finished, I feel like I wanted to be more of a part of it, and I wasn't.
Hey, Telvin, here comes the token fat guy question about weight to a skinny guy. But where is your weight right now? What do you feel like you want to be once you get back on the field?
Right. You know, every year, you know, we're saying 225. You know, that's the number that everybody throw. And, hey, it's 225 again this year. But, nah, I've been talking to Dave them. And it's not only my time to step up as a leader in this organization, as a vocal standout player in the organization, but just to show that, and as I'm doing that, I have to, you know, have that backup to come with it. And I think as players see me push myself to do that, everybody around the organization knows that that's a task for me to, you know, achieve. So if they see me doing that, I feel like that's just gaining more respect and showing them what I'm willing to do. And now I'm asking y'all, what are y'all willing to do? So
both Dave and Gus have talked about that a couple of times in the offseason. You're on board with that. You want to get bigger and be, I don't know if durability is fair because you've played, but that's something that you're on board with. You want to get a little bigger.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with it. You know, in this business, you have to bring what you bring to the table. And when it comes time for me to sit at the table, I don't want any questions or any of that. You know what I mean? I want all answers to be said. And right now, it's like we said, the ability to play, that's already. I don't know one questions that. It's just the ability to be durable. And that's what I want to show the front office. My teammates, they can count on me for 20 games if we go in the season, all snaps. And that's the biggest thing right now for me, I think, is, like I said, stepping up into that leadership role to where you can say, I know he's putting in the work. Now I got to, too.
Is it hard to believe you're going into third year? You're a veteran now.
I always tell my mom them it's crazy how fast time goes right. by. You know, we always say that, and you're going to continue to say it because it's so cliche. But
maybe you're 50, Telvin.
But it's crazy how fast time goes. And, you know, it's a blessing, though, because some people didn't make it going into the three or the two that I made it. So it's definitely something. Right. But like I said, I'm ready to embrace it. Where I'm at is where I think I should be, where I'm supposed to be. It's not where I think, it's where I know I'm supposed to be. So, you know, everything is just lining up.
Telvin, what's the, speaking of veteran guys, Paul Posluszny's been around here for a long time. And Scooter's been around the league for a while now. What have you gathered from those guys over the last years?
I think when you hear me talk about leadership and standing in that role, I learned that from Buzz, because, you know, for a while, he's been that guy on the defense, and he's going to continue to be that guy. But again, I've just learned how to say, I have to take what I'm thinking and put it into these actions. Cause a lot of times, a lot of guys, you know, they're talking and they're saying the right things, but they're not following up with them. And these first 2 years, I've said a lot of things. I've done a lot of things, but it's stuff I left out there on the table. So I think right now it's just from him, I learned. Seize every moment. You know, we've talked about some serious stuff. Puzz is a great guy. He's going to shoot it to me straight. So, you know, in contract, like we were talking earlier, and playing on the field and being the future of the organization, that's the kind of conversations that we have and what I'm trying to get from him.
Because he has seen a lot in you from the start. I remember talking to him when you were a rookie, and very early on, he was talking about the ceiling you have and how good you can be. I assumed he told you the same thing.
Right.
What did that mean to you coming from a guy like that?
It means a lot. You know, that's, you know, obviously him and Gus have two different titles and then two different positions. But, you know, when you're looking at a player and you're a young guy and it's a older player on the team and he embraces you that way and, you know, he sees all of this in you, even though you should see it in yourself. But for somebody else to see it in you, I think that's what, you know, sold me on him. Right. He's a genuine guy. And, you know, we use that word a lot around, but, you know, That's what it is. He's a genuine guy.
Telvin, I know you're a social media guy, right? Yeah. What's your handle? Yeah. What is your
my handle? Telvin Smith 50_50 Let me look.
Pretty clever.
You don't even know.
Pretty clever. So you went name and number. That's good.
Hey, that's it. That's it. Telvin Smith 50. That's Instagram. If you want me on Twitter, you can go, and I'll be under the hashtag Telvin Smith _22 I think. And 22 is because it was my college number, and I wasn't able to change it after it got verified. So _22 on Twitter, and Telvin Smith 50.
Well, knowing that, let's go to social media. Get some questions from some fans today off Instagram. GB Speed is Life asking, what was your 40 time at the Combine or on your Pro Day? Do you remember?
40 time. I didn't run it at Pro Day. I blazed at the Combine, so I was okay. look, I was talking to the guys today. I was clocked at a 4.41 came up. I ran 4.46, 4.41. I think the guy from the linebacker from Ohio State is the one that got close to it. What, he like 2.35, ran 4.46 or something?
Yeah.
What he ran? Who is the guy?
Yeah,
top stud linebacker coming out,
I'm
right?
Yeah, I'm drawing maybe he's fast.
Yeah, yeah. He's the guy that, you know, that's the only thing I looked at. Is anybody coming in the league running? And he's one of them. So yeah, but 4.41.
Does 40 time matter now that you're in the league?
You know, it matters because you can say I ran this in the 40, but I mean, you get on the field. Ain't nobody trying to exactly like you can just throw it around that you ran good. But when you want that on the field, I mean, 40s don't matter. I've seen guys, you know, fat guys. Roy Miller come from the middle of the field from the hash mark, chase a running back down to the sideline. So you know, it don't matter.
If I'm not mistaken, he just called Roy fat.
He did. I heard that. And it's
I tell you, boy. Well, you let him, boy.
Nice. Next question from 904. What's your favorite thing about living in the Sunshine State of
What's
Florida?
My favorite thing? You just said it. It's the Sunshine State. I mean, I love Georgia. I'm from Georgia. I'm a Georgia boy till I die. But, I mean, I love being in Florida. The weather's nice. You don't hear about snow. I mean, we may think about it, but we don't hear about it. And that's the great thing about it. Just the weather. It's great.
Next to Z Hewling asking, how much can you bench press?
Oh,
a lot
man.
Of 40 bench press questions today.
Yeah. Bench pressing last time I actually maxed out. It's crazy. We don't even max out. In the league, they actually take how you've been working out and kind of just say, oh, you can lift this. But the last time I maxed out was actually before I got in the league, and I was like at 320 at Florida State. So
it's pretty good for a skinny guy like yourself.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Hey, Vic Valoria, that's you.
Now, Big Roy, we were talking about Roy earlier. He can throw about the huge number, right?
Yeah, we don't live with those guys, you know. I stay in my own lane now, but, you know, I talk to them. I talk a little smack to them when they're over there.
Final question from social media, Harry Moody Smith. What are your goals for this season ahead in 2016? What do you want to get done?
Right. I felt like last season was a bust, even though a lot of people say, what? Why would you do that? Because I came in and I said Pro Bowl a bust, and obviously I didn't make the Pro Bowl. You know, people can say, oh, you got this and you got that, you know, but at the end of the day, I didn't make it. And that's all that mattered to me. So I gotta go and improve, you know, not only to my peers on this team, but it's to the league and to the coaches that, you know, I'm a player to be reckoned with. You know, I want to say, oh, we got the scheme for this guy. And I think instead of saying the Pro Bowl is my goal and that's going to be it for this season, I think it's going to be more so saying, you know, how far can Telvin Smith, how much of an impact can Telvin Smith have on this team to see how far it can go? Because as an individual player, if we do great as a team, all the accolades are going to come with it. And I think that's why I didn't make the Pro Bowl, because as a team, we weren't as successful. Because I feel like we should have had a number of players. But, you know, we're going to wrap that up for last season. That's last season. And we're going to keep building, man. But I'm telling you, I think that's it, to see how much I can impact this team, to see how far we can go.
Tough sometimes at your position to make the Pro Bowl because you're not an off-the-edge pass-rushing linebacker
right.
And all that. So it's got to be impact plays, right? You've got to make the things that you do well, I guess, more often, more consistently.
Right. And that's it. That's the biggest thing of me and Sal always talk about something that stand out. If you watch the first 10 plays, 20 plays of a game, the first series of a game, does a guy stand out to you? And I think that's where I'm at right now. As soon as the film turned on, it's a standout play. It's right there. He's around the ball. He's this. He's not only around the ball, but his hands is on the ball, or he's some kind of way affected him. Even if I took two guys so he can get, you know, just all right. kind of ways to impact the play and just be, like I said, impactful on the field and bring that heat.
You can't wait to get back out there.
The last two killed it. You know what I mean? I technically didn't finish last season.
Right.
In my eyes. I didn't finish last season, but, you know, as a team, I think we got what we needed from last season.
Telvin, it's good to have you on. We appreciate your time. It's always good to visit with you, and good luck to you getting back on the field here.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Always good to be here, always.
Telvin Smith joining us, Jaguars linebacker on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank Loyalty Pricing. For season ticket members, the deadline is March 7th. That's Monday. To lock in loyalty pricing for next season, visit Jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000.
I missed time the handshake there. Did you see that? I was kind of up. He wasn't ready for it. So I didn't do that well.
Well done. Not really well at all, John.
What time this one? Okay.
Brian Sexton.
By the way, I heard Telvin's favorite thing about living in Florida is the weather, the sunshine, and that's common. But I couldn't help but think, and I told him as he walked out, when you get the big payday in a couple of years, it's going to be the low-tax environment that you speak of when you talk about living in Florida. And I say that, I'm not kidding, jokingly, but I looked at him and I thought, it's coming. He's such a terrific young player, and that speed and his pursuit, and, you know, he's a sack you, strip you, intercept you, pick up the fumble, return it for a touchdown kind of guy. And those are the kinds of guys you guys were talking about last week you're looking for in the draft. Those guys get paid.
One note yesterday in the personnel side, the Jaguars have added DeJuan Polk as assistant director of pro personnel under Chris Cubdriggers. That's the pro side. Last 10 years with Atlanta, pro personnel coordinator last year there and director of pro scouting, a former Clemson defensive tackle as well way back, but he is now on staff, so they keep building around the pro personnel side. Also today here at EverBank Field, a media tour of the West U.S. Assure Club improvements. Did you go on it, John?
I did.
I saw you on there, Brian.
Yeah, Brian did. I did.
And you're taking a look at some of the things now. The whole thing's gutted out down to bare concrete, and they're going to be ready to go come the regular season the preseason, actually, with brand new seats in the club area. It's going to be pretty awesome.
I had a flashback. They did some media tours, and I know you were on them in 1995 before they put the seats on, and it was just surreal to step out there and see the club area is completely barren. And the big is the wrong adjective. Enormous cranes that are going to lift out these 40,000-pound segments of concrete. They're innovative. These guys are innovative in so many ways in what they're doing with the clubs and bringing in the steel and taking out the concrete and putting in glass. I'm excited to see it because I think it's going to be something that that really makes this place special.
I've used the analogy, JP, that they're basically, over time, they're building a new stadium on the fly.
Yeah, you're right.
Which is a remarkable thing that, I don't want to say it's never been done before, but it's unusual. And credit to them. By the time you're done with this, then have the amphitheater outside, it is going to look like an entirely new building and take away the conversation of when do the Jaguars need a new stadium, whether they're building one as they go along.
Well, I was in the era of billion-dollar stadiums, New York, Los Angeles, Dallas, where it's tough for Jacksonville to compete, this is a cost-effective way to take a building that's solid and the bones are solid and do something special with it. And this is one of those things.
Maybe they'll build me an office at some point.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath there. So
it's going to be announced in 2022.
The next.
Also.
Right. It'll be kind of in the front print down there. Also, the next step, the amphitheater indoor practice facility. They're still trying to finish up final design before they begin that process, and that'll be another year at least down the road before that's done. It's time for a game we call. This or that question today, boys. Who are the best and worst free agent signings in Jaguars history? We are less than a week away.
I think we should start with the worst. It's kind of like the broccoli on your plate. You know, you want to finish with the taste of steak, not broccoli in your mouth. So
I like broccoli with a little cheese on it.
Right. I'm not a broccoli guy.
Okay, all right.
Force-fed to me as a kid. So who's the worst in your estimation?
Well, again, I missed 10 years of where there were a few bad ones. I would have to say the worst that I've seen in the time I've been around was the Aaron Ross, LaRon Robinson year that where they really just sort of went out and got some guys because they felt like they had to. They felt like they needed to improve positions. You never got a real vibe that they were good fits or that they were frontline guys. And I think those moves in the end taught Shad Khan a valuable lesson of where the franchise was and what the best way to deal with things were. I think those two moves helped Shad fully understand what Dave Caldwell was talking about the next year when he said, there's no reason to do short-term free agency fix on what is a long-term project. So in the 90s, there were some ones that didn't work, but not to that degree.
Well, and there were some that if they had come through, remember Lonzo Spellman and Quentin Curiel?
Right.
Oh, boy.
Gilbert Brown was in that bunch,
oh,
too.
Oh, well, but...
And E.S. Williams was in there, too. He'd been good.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, he would have been. No, I'm just saying.
No,
I think about those ones that didn't happen. You know, Corriott got the Colts matched that offer mm-hmm. sheet, and, of course, then he got arrested with the gun on the side of the road. And the other one was Spellman, who held his publicist hostage shortly thereafter. So those were the ones that they didn't get.
Yeah, that's
that would have been. I'll tell you this. Hugh Douglas in 2003 got a $10 million signing bonus and was Aaron Ross. Total waste of time and money. But I'm going to give the worst to Joey Porter, which was nothing more than just trying to...
Porter.
I'm sorry. Porter. Joey's the linebacker. Jerry Porter, the receiver from the Raiders. Yeah, it might have been better than... gave him $10 million. He showed up with a nasty attitude, delivered one touchdown in a meaningless game against the Lions, who didn't win a game all season. They were 0-8 that Sunday. In fact, the game had long been decided by Maurice Jones-Drew's three touchdowns before Jerry got in on the action.
Was it a good catch? Was it?
He was a waste of money, waste of space. He was the worst by far.
So the best?
Well, there were a lot of them when I covered the team in the 90s. And Leon Searcy comes to mind. Eddie Robinson comes to mind. I think you've got to say Keenan simply because of he's probably going to be on the wall at some point.
Right.
And it's rare to have a guy who comes in and is a core player and a franchise-defining player in free agency. I don't know that – I think it's going to become rarer as time goes on. It has become rare. Searcy's in that conversation to me because I think Leon gets forgotten about that he was a guy who was – A rock solid guy on his side, but I got to go with Keenan.
Javon Kearse, in his phenomenal rookie season in '99, got no closer than the line of scrimmage to Mark Brunell because of Leon.
Right.
He never lined up on Baselli's side. They thought he'd be able to exploit Leon, whose arms were shorter, but Leon had such a fierce punch, he drove the guy backwards. I'm going to take a little different route. I'm going to go with the best free agent signing being Clyde Simmons. And I'm spending a lot of time right now in the archives going through, you know, the 96 and 97 season. And I think he made maybe the biggest play in franchise history. You know, they were down 7-0 in their very first playoff game, the wild card game in Buffalo in December of 1996. That was back when they played.
They weren't
the wild
just
card
down
game.
Either. It was they going getting, against them.
They were getting pounded. They couldn't stop. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so Jim Kelly tries the shovel pass, and he's looking for Thurman Thomas, but he threw it just behind Thomas. And Clyde reached out and grabbed that ball with his paw and just ran to the end zone. I mean, that play right there from a veteran guy who had been around showed the young Jaguars, you know, Baselli and Brackens and Jimmy, and they were all so young, showed them that they could win. But Brackens is one of the best, if not the best, defensive player this franchise ever had. He was his personal coach for 2 years. Mm-hmm. To watch the sideline shots of him coaching Brackens, and he made plays. Remember that Ravens game in Baltimore in 96 at the old place? They won in overtime. He had two sacks in the fourth quarter. People forget about those two sacks. But if he doesn't make those, the seven-game run never happens. The playoffs never happen. He made a couple of plays, one really loud, a couple quietly, that helped that 96 team, which still is the ultimate, in my mind, of this franchise. He made it happen, so I'm going to say Clyde Simmons.
Yeah, a solid veteran guy who mattered in that locker room as well.
Season tickets, the deadline for loyalty pricing, March 7th. Great schedule here at home, of course. Houston and Tennessee in the division. Green Bay, the Packers are here, the world champion Broncos are here, the Vikings with AP and the rest, and Teddy Bridgewater are all here. That's coming up next season. Call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com/tickets. Let's go to the phone lines and welcome in our next guest today from NFL.com, college football 24/7 writer Chase Goodbread. Our good friend is on the phone. What's up, Chase?
Doing well. How are y'all?
Doing great. We saw you in Indy last week. The combine is all over now. We're wrapping, putting a bow on it, I guess, wrapping it up.
You know, I invented Chase Goodbread.
Did you,
JP? Yeah. He's, I'm sure Chase would acknowledge that without me, Chase would be nowhere. No, we worked together at the TU.
Osher was indeed one of multiple.
Multiple. Okay.
Works for me in my early 20s.
Would you call him Chase forever? Very, very, very good guy.
Would you call him a mentor? That's what we need to know, Chase.
A temporary mentor.
Okay, the hesitation says
this. I love that. Okay, exactly. Good answer.
All you needed to know.
Combine review, Chase. That's your kind of scene up there, of course. You got guys coming to the media center. Any standout surprises? What was some of the highlights for you in Indy?
Well, Ramsey certainly, from Florida State, certainly had one of the best combines of anybody. He comes to immediate mind. And at least in Indianapolis, you know, maybe not so much on the outside world, but the defensive backs seems like it's a little quiet in Indianapolis when they do really well, because by the time they run and jump and do their workouts, a lot of people have already left because they're the last ones to go through. And so, you know, the interviews are all over. A lot of the reporters are gone. Not sure that, honestly, with all the reporters being, not all but most being gone by then, I'm not even sure that defensive backs, their results get as much exposure as some of the other groups. But that's a tangent topic. Ramsey had a phenomenal combine for sure. Surprises, you know, you mentioned those. William Jackson comes to mind, the cornerback from Houston, who just had a tremendous combine, ran under 4.4. And, you know, has all the tape anybody could ever want to see. Led the nation last year. Had 23 or 24. So, all in all, you know, it was definitely a big week for those two and more.
You know, Chase, when you look, the average fan looks at the first round, and you know, maybe now since people are doing mocks into the second round, maybe the first 10 picks of the second round. But if you look down past that, where is it deeper? Is the edge rusher deeper, or is that defensive back position deeper rounds 3 through 7?
The interior, I'll have to change positions on you, but the defensive tackles are as deep as a lot of people can remember. I mean, there's, you know, Mike Mayock, our lead analyst on the network, has said there's 10 to 12 of them who will probably get a first-round grade from at least one NFL club. And a lot of them look good during the week. Now, ends and corners, certainly I don't think they're as, you know, as deep as defensive tackle. Ends, you know, it's probably, you know, Jaguars.com is a perfect place for this, but I remember a remark that Caldwell made in the aftermath of last year's draft. Might have even been on Jaguars.com, but it was sent, I don't remember it word for word, but it was something to the effect of one reason we're really excited to get Dante Fowler going forward is that our projections for next year's crop of pass rushers is not as strong. And sure enough, 11 months later, and you've got a really top guy in Bosa for sure. And after that, teams maybe aren't quite sure what they're getting.
Mm-hmm. What, as you move forward, I know you'll be doing a lot of pro day stuff over the next month, correct?
Right.
What are you looking for, you know, I guess some of the big storylines that you'll be watching over the next few weeks? I don't know if anybody really improves themselves that much, but is it Spence? Does he have to improve what he did at the combine? Or what are some of the big pro day moments for you coming up?
I think Spence will certainly run again. There ain't much doubt about that. He's not going to be happy with a 4.8 by any stretch of the imagination. Really, the pro days to watch for are as easy as looking at the combine results and finding the big names who didn't do much of anything, right? So, you know, there's going to be a lot of eyes on Clemson because Mackenzie Alexander is going to have to run. There's going to be a lot of eyes on Baylor because Corey Coleman's going to be doing his thing. Ole Miss, Laquan Treadwell's got to run. You know, it's it's pretty much as simple as, and then how about Miles Jack at UCLA? He's supposed to be, or at least hoping to be, ready to work out. So, you know, it's not hard to spot the ones that are going to catch a lot of attention.
How much did you follow the Notre Dame linebacker story, Jalen Smith? What are your thoughts on that, and what do you hear about how ready he may be and sort of his draft stock?
You know, the obviously the talk coming out of the combine is that he's likely to miss all of 2016. 2017, obviously, would assume would be the hope. But, you know, it changes things for him from the standpoint of a club that looks at Jalen Smith and loves him, but is convinced he won't be on the field till 2017. If it's a coaching staff and a front office that feels like it needs a 1 year turnaround and can't wait for a 2 year turnaround on the defensive side of the ball, then I would imagine they'll take a pass.
Right.
And so, you know, the trouble for Smith is he's not going to, if everybody is convinced he's out for 2016, kind of narrows him down to the teams that can feel like they can afford to take him on and not even reap a reward from the pick until year two.
It's almost that quarterback phenomenon where sometimes teams will pass on a guy, and I might be a good player, but he's just slipping because teams don't need a quarterback. So you've been around, I assume, in Alabama some really, really good pro days over time. Is Ohio State's this year going to be the best you've seen?
It's going to be phenomenal for sure. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, it might not be, you know, since a lot of the Ohio State stars already did their thing in Indianapolis.
Right.
You know, like we talked about before, you know, those guys will all be, at least the ones that are happy with their times, they're all going to be skipping a lot of stuff. But just in terms of the overall talent and the numbers, yeah, there's no doubt it's as impressive a group or more than comes to mind. I mean, Alabama's obviously put multiple guys in the first round of the draft and has had a bunch of guys invited to the combine pretty much every year since Saban's second or third year when he had the program full of his recruits. So over the course of time, that one's certainly stood out too.
Chase Goodbread with us from NFL.com, college football 24/7 writer. Pro day season coming up for you. I'm sure you'll travel to a good bit of those. But before you go, what's your best John Osher story from back in the day at the TU? Anything that you can tell? Anything fit to print?
Anything fit to print? Hesitation once again, right?
Right, sure.
I played pickup basketball with John once. I found him to be fairly formidable.
What? Really? That must have been a long time ago.
I had my day. Yeah. I was scrappy. I was like Gene Fournette. Played good defense.
He knows how to use the length and the arms. He's a little bit McHale-like.
Sharp elbows.
Yeah. I like
there
it.
There you go.
I remember. That was a good time.
Chase Goodbread from NFL.com. We appreciate your time. We look forward to reading your writing on the site coming up in the next few weeks with Pro Days coming along. Thanks, Chase.
Chaser, thanks.
All right, I'll take it easy.
Chase Goodbread joining us. Good friend of ours on Jaguars.com Live. Hey, good show today, guys.
Very good job, and I appreciate Chase joining us. He covered recruiting for a long time at the paper and does a good job at NFL.com.
Well done, Brian.
Thank you.
For Brian Sexton, John Osher, everyone involved, our thanks to Telvin Smith and Chase Goodbread, and thanks to you for watching Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.